everyone is well. Yeah, we're again. We're going through different inyanim that are nogeh kiruv v'chaykim, and I'm going to go over today some issues of wine, which are interesting. Again, obviously people use yayin mevushel, but to go over some of the background and to actually show that, according to some shitas, some very chashuv shitas, the wine that is typically labeled as mevushel is in fact not mevushel. Really, you're going to have some questions about that. You may have to do your own boiling before Shabbos. First, you have to know some basic yisaitis, which you probably know. There is something called yayin nesech d'araisa, and then there is something called stam yenim. Yayin nesech d'araisa is wine that a guy actually poured l'shem avodah zarah mamish. Now that might include b'zman hazeh, that might include the wine that's used at a Catholic mass. That, you know, you're pouring it to be oved getshka, to be oved avodah zarah. Yayin nesech d'araisa is usher b'hanah min ha-Torah. And the makar is because the Torah considers nesech li'avodah zarah to be like takruves avodah zarah, like any korban avodah zarah. Takruves avodah zarah is asur b'hanah. Now, stam yenam is wine that a guy touched or a guy moved or a guy owns. That's not mevushel. We'll see why mevushel makes a difference. And min ha-Torah, as long as the wine has no treif ingredients, it is not usher. But chazal ushered stam yenam. Now, there is a machlokes lahalacha, is stam yenam usher bihanah or only bishasiyah? The Shulchan Aruch is actually mekel. That's why, for example, if I own a wine store, I could sell non-mevushel that's handled by goyim to goyim, at least the chalav pachas. And but the question is this: you'll see what the swara of the machlekes is. It's close. Yeah, it's already. What do you mean it's close? So it was yayin nesach in the factory. If it's not kosher wine.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it was yayin nesach. It was stam yenim before you bottled it. The question is this: there is a question as to what is the makor, what is the swara, why stam yenim is usher. One Gemara says stam yenim is usher, nothing to do with yayin nesach, but it's mishum b'nei sehen, that if I drink a guy's wine, I come to get close to the guy, and I eventually wind up marrying his daughter. It was a herchaka against intermarriage. Of course, wine can do that. Of course, I was thinking of another. They tell a story about a yid was at a train station, and a person next to him asked him what time it is. A guy. And the yid didn't answer. So anyway, they get on the train, and the guy says to the yid, why didn't you answer the question? I asked you what time it was. He says, I'm going to tell you what time it is. You're going to sit next to me. We'll start talking about where you work, where I work. You'll invite me for dinner. I'll invite you for dinner. And then you're going to marry my daughter. I'd rather not start the conversation. You know, but chalapachas, wine for sure, creates chasmas. That's one svara. There's another svara that it's a gezeira, chazal asert, stam yenam, gezeira because of yayin nesach. Now, whether it's because of B'nai Seyem or because of the Gezeirah of Yayin Nesach, this is Gufa the Machlekes, is it Usher B'Shtia or even Usher B'Hana? Because if I say, Chazal, we're Gezer Stam Yenam, Atu Yayin Nesach Gomor, then Kishem that Yayin Nesach Gomor is Usher B'Hana, Stam Yenam would be Usher B'Hana. But if it's only Mishum B'nai Seyem, so it's Maspik to Usher at B'Shtia, you're not going to have the fraternization B'Shtia. Again, there are different shitas. The chatchila we're nayig that it's asur b'hanah too. Now, keep in mind the following yisoid. It is not at all pashut from the Gemara that you apply any of this to a mechallel Shabbos. The Gemara, right? Yayin nesach gomor is when a guy is menasach le'avodah zarah, or if a yid's menasach. You know what I mean? And stam yayinim is what a guy touches, or a guy owns, or a guy shakes, or a guy pours. The extension of this to Mechalel Shabbos is a Mechalekes Rishayim. We have statements in Chazal that say a Mechalel Shabbos Barahesia is like a Kaifer B'maisa Bereshis. But those are not statements that are directly talking about wine. Those are like stump statements. You're a Kaifer B'maisa Bereshis. So the Rashba brings, the Beis Yosef brings in the name of the Rashba, that Vibalta Mechalel Shabbos Perfarhesia is called a Kaifer B'maisa Bereshis, he's going to Asher the wine. But the emes is, there are many Rishonim that say a Mechalel Shabbos doesn't Asher wine, and it's interesting svar why. Because like this, the Chassam Sefer even gives a kula for this. He says, if you learn that the Isser of Stam Yenim of a Goy is a Gezerah Mishum B'nei Sehen, to prevent intermarriage. Technically, there is no issur for me to marry the daughter of a Mechalel Shabbos. She might be called the Balas Tshuva. In other words, what are you going to say? Chazal are going to asser the maga of a Mechalel Shabbos for Farhesia because I may come to marry his daughter, but I'm allowed to marry his daughter. Right? So the Chassam Sefer actually says a svara that even if somebody is mamish a mechalel Shabbos before Hesia, he would not have a din of akum legabe maga yayin. However, in spite of the Chassam Sefer Svara, we are noyeg, as it were, that a mechalel Shabbos before Hesia, now we're going to have to define the category, does have a din of stam yena. Okay. Now, so the question becomes, if it's not mevushal, again, if it's mevushal, we'll talk about it, but we're taking each thing separately. The question becomes whether a chiloni b'zman hazeh has a din of a mechalel Shabbos before Hesia. And here we do have the famous tshuva that comes up in many, many areas, the famous tshuva of the Binyan Siyan. The Binyan Siyan is the Aruch Lanier. He was the Rebbe of Rav Shimshon Ufal Hirsch, and he was the greatest paisek in Germany during the rise of the Reform Movement. So the Binyan Siyan himself lived through the situation of the Reform Movements. This is in the early and mid-19th century, spreading like wildfire, right? Ad kidei kach, that the whole kehilas were taken over by Reform. And the question becomes whether they have a din of Mechal Shabbos for Hesia. So the Binyan Siyan developed the idea that even then, in the early years of Reform, many Reform Jews had the halach of tinok shenishma, meaning to say they were not responsible, they were not raised with the chashivas of Torah. And he makes the important point that don't think a tinok shenishma is only somebody who grew up in Africa who never saw a shomer Shabbos. Even if somebody sees a shomer Shabbos, even if somebody knows that there are yidden that keep Shabbos a certain way, if he's not raised to consider that to be the Ratzon Hashem, that's called a tinok shenishma. So every Reform Jew, most Reform Jews know that there are Orthodox Jews who don't drive on Shabbos and don't answer the telephone on Shabbos. But that doesn't negate the tinok shenishma aspect because they don't think it's min Hashem. In other words, they're not mechaven to be mired against the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Binyan Siyan adds an additional point. If the whole getter of a mechalel Shabbos asering wine is because he's kaifer and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says there were Reform Jews or non-religious Jews who were Mechalel Shabbos, but they said Kiddush, they said a prayer, they went to shul, they expressed in Emunah in Hashem. It's a tarti desasre to be maimin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and desecrate Shabbos. Ein achinami, they're behaving inconsistently, but you can no longer say that they're being Mechalel Melachais shows that they're mamish kaifer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now this is the psak of the Binyan Siyon that would say, not every Mechalel Shabbos, but that Rav Mechalel Shabbos, who are chiloni, would have a din of tinok shenishma. But it's interesting that there is a machlekes among contemporary paiskim, whether you're samech on the Binyan Siyon. There are paiskim who are machmer, Rav Sternbach, other paiskim are machmer, not to be samech on the Binyan Siyon. And Rav Sternbach has an interesting svara, why to be machmer. This is very interesting. Because he says, b'shem b'chazenish, an interesting svara, that it's not only a mechalel Shabbos who asers wine, but it's anyone that has machshavos of kefira and minus, which is a big chiddush, which means theoretically, if you identified a Jew who keeps Shabbos, but he doesn't believe Torah's min hashamayim, Rav Sternbach says, b'shem v'chazenish, that itself would aser. Well, but you might say, but so what? Aren't you a tinok shenishma on that as well? So here, the shaila is like this. Is there a concept of tinok shenishma on deis of minus and kfira? Meaning, Tinok Shenishba is like a patur for Averis. If I do Averis and I never had an opportunity to learn, so the Avisha doesn't hold me chayef. But what if a person grew up as an atheist? He doesn't believe in God. Or he doesn't believe in Torah and Shemayim. Is it Shayach a patur of Tinok Shenishba on Apikorsis? So the Velt says B'Shem Rav Chaim, that Rav Chaim Tainis, that Rav Chaim has a kasha, the Rambam has Yud Gimel Ikrei Amuna. Now, the pshat is like this. What's the pshat that there are 13 things a Yid has to believe in? A Yid has to believe in everything in the Torah. In fact, one of the Ikrim is, I believe in everything in the Torah. So, what does it mean to say you're taking part of the Torah and saying, you have to believe in this? Well, I got to believe in the part of the Torah that's not the Yud Gimel Ikrei Emunah. That's one of the Yud Gimel Ikrei Emunah. So Rav Chaim says, what's the shaykhus of the 13? What's the relevance of it? So Rav Chaim says, an interesting tisach, Rav Chaim says, on anything that's not an Ikrim, if you simply didn't know it, let's say I believe everything in the Torah is Emes, but I don't know everything in the Torah. I don't know what it says. If you asked me, was there Yetzias Mitzrayim? I would say, no, I don't know. I never heard of it. Was there Kriyas Yam Tzus? Ich weiß nicht. But if it's in the Torah, I believe it. Zok Rav Chaim, you're okay. Meaning to say, on everything other than the Yud Gimel Ikrim, you don't have to consciously know it. If you know that the Torah says that and you don't believe it, you're a kaifer and an ikker. But if you just don't know it, you have a patur of Tinok Shenishma. Aber legabe the Yud Gimel Ikare Emuna, even if you're a Tinok Shenishma, in Rav Chaim's expression, an Apikiris is Nebuch an Apikiris. It's a Nebuch, it's sad. Meaning, you see the chilek. Meaning like this. Let's say, okay, this is the two examples. If I never read the Torah, and I never heard there was such a thing as Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore I don't consciously have in my cup that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, I'm not an Apikiris. I just don't have knowledge. But if I never heard that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, or I never heard that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the Torah, even though I don't know what the Torah says, then Rav Chaim says there's no patur of Tinok Shenishma because you don't have the admission ticket. The admission ticket to Olam Haba is having consciousness of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. Now, based on that, Rav Chaim Ish doesn't use Rav Chaim as a raya, but it's Ge'en is similar to Svara, the Chazon Ish Tainus, that Bishlama, if a guy is simply a sinner, he's a Machal Shabbos, so it's Shayach Svara Tinok Shenishma. But if the Pshat is, he doesn't believe in Torah Min HaShamayim, he doesn't believe in Tchias HaMesim, he doesn't believe in Bias Mashiach, he doesn't believe in Nebuas Maisha Rabbein, there are no excuses, so to speak. In other words, an apikaris is not an apikaris. So Rav Sternbach says a svara that since kemat every chiloni that's a mechalal Shabbos is not just an avarian that's mechalal Shabbos, but is someone that is kaifer in Yud Gimel Ikrei Emuna. So some want to say legabe deyais kaisais, it's not shayach the din of Tinok Shenishba. And Mimela, he wants to say, you can't be Saimech on the Binyan Tziyan. This is such a chumrah. I will say that Rav Vajner, who again is not a big Mekel, Rav Vajner of Bnei Brak, does hold that it's Shayach Tinok Shenishba, even on the Yanim of Apikorsis. And Mimela, Rav Vajner says, it's Shayach to be Saimech on the Binyan Tziyan. Okay? So that's issue number one. Issue number one, well, actually, two issues. Right? There are two different Shailas we talked about. The first issue is, is a Mechalal Shabbos Nichlal in the Gezeirah of Stam Yenim? A Miyat of Rishayim said no, which would mean even if he's a Mechalal Shabbos Mamish, no problem. And the Chassam Sefer said the Sforah was, because it's not Shayach Gezeirah of B'nai Seyem. But Ruba de Ruba of Paiskim do say a Mechalal Shabbos does Aser. Right, that's issue number one. Issue number two is the Psak of the Binyan Siyain, Legabe the Din of Tinoik Shenishba, where he was Mekel, and then we have a Machlekes, whether you accept the Binyan Siyain Sanacha, and even if you do, by an Avarian, by a sinner, will you apply it to Deis Kaisweis? Some Paiskim were Machmir, In Eretz Yisrael, they tend to be more machmer in this inyan. Most poskim in Chutz La'aretz are mekel. We tend to be samech on the binyan sian. But again, because of this shaila, it is much better to have mevushel. Now we're going to move to the next question of what is yayin mevushel. Yep.
According to Rav Sternbach,
yep.
If you're not a mamin yudkei mutarim,
yep.
So you're an apikores.
Yep.
So how does anyone ever get to be tinishma? He doesn't have any ghetto tinishma.
That's a good question. I mean, if you're telling me it's not shayach tinuk shnishba and apikorsis, then what type of tinuk shnishba are you going to have? It's kind of a button the zach.
That's going to be someone who grew up in Africa, yeah.
No, because you're not mamin.
No.
You were never appointed.
No. But according to the way Rav Sternbach reads the Chazon Ish, it makes no difference if you never knew or you were poisoned. If you're not actively a maimon in the Yud Gimel Ikrei Emuna, you're an apikoros and you wash one. We would have to say that Tinok Shenishba would only apply when he was maskil the process of tshuva and wasn't goymer. Meaning to say, he grew up with nothing, and then he learned the Yud Gimel Ikrim that he's maimon, but he hasn't yet learned about Shabbos. Meaning, he started certain things, but
yeah.
So Rav Ashner actually brings. I mean, the truth is, Rav Ashner brings a riot from that sugya because the pashtus of the Gemara says tinek shenishba literally means he was nishba bein hagoyim, right? So the pashtus is he had no chinuch at all. Yeah. I mean, you're 100% correct. I mean, the simple case of tinek shenishba, the literal case, is the guy grew up in Africa, right? Didn't know anything. So how is it shaykh to say he has deyas kaisvais in that case? Yeah. Okay. So now let's talk about mevushel. That's a hard thing. I mean, the question is, not every shanu pirush is going to be a tinek shnish, but it really depends. But pashtus, if he was in a seviva where he was exposed to the truth of Torah, and it was communicated to him that this is emes, and this is how Hashem wants us to live, and then he rebels against it, that's a tricky word, so he would not be a tinok shenishba. Now the question is, what do we mean by rebelling? The word rebelling is a little odd. If he does something lahachis, which is very rare, he believes in Hashem, but he wants to be mayre, then for shteitzach, he's not bikaris. But most of the time, the person who goes off the derech might, because he's not a maimon. If he's not a maimon, he's not mechaven to be moreid against Hashem. Either he doesn't believe in Hashem, or he doesn't believe Hashem gave those mitzvahs. In fact, this is a general question. What is the definition of a mumr lahachis? Who is he trying to be machis? He's trying to be machis HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Or he doesn't believe?
He doesn't believe in him. Is he machis other yidden? What is the getter of a mumer lahachas? So the chalapachas, I think we would have to be machmer. I mean, but it would be a difficult psychological question to analyze. I mean, you're analyzing the state of what is the mental state of a so-called non-believer. Is it rebelliousness or is it lack of knowledge? Right? The Beis Halevi tainus that most kefira, not believing, really comes from rebelliousness. But you know, you'd have to go into the Kaychas and Nefesh, you have to be a psychologist, really, to try to understand Kefira. Kefira is not an easy phenomenon to understand. Now, someone went to the Beis Halevi and said, I have kashas on Emuna. I have kashas. So the Beis Halevi said, you don't have kashas, you have tevutzim. Meaning, all of these philosophical problems are excuses to allow you to get out of mitzvahs, right? He was saying, the kashas come after the tevutzim, so to speak. Okay. So let's talk a little about mevushel. Now, here's the thing. The aside that yayin mevushel doesn't have the gezeira of stam yenem is beferish in the Gemara. That is a Gemara. The Gemara says, yayin mevushel does not become neser. Now, if it's nisach mamish, it becomes neser, but it's not nichlal in the gezeira. Now, the question is, why is that so? The Gemara says, yayin mevushel, there's no problem of stam yena. But the question is, why is that so? So really, there is a machlekes rishenim, why that is so. Some rishenim say that yayin mevushel goes through a kilkel. Its taste and its fragrance is adversely affected, and therefore goyim don't use it for nisach. In other words, if you go with the getter that stam yenam is a gezera mishum yayin nesach, so the getter would be any type of wine that goyim would not use for nisach le'avodah zarah, because it's gerechened as mekulkel. This is going to be a very important svara, whether our wine is called mevushel, is no longer going to be used for nisach, and memeila it's not going to be a problem. Now, which would mean, it implies according to that lumdus, that if the problem would be b'naseim, we would still aser it, because there's still fraternization. But if it's because of nisach, it's not going to be a problem. That's one reason. The other reason is given by the Rush. The first reason is given by the Rush, but the Rush gives a second reason. And the Rush says, and this is also going to have implications, that since it was not common to be mevashel wine, it blibes a milsa delay shechicha. It was an uncommon drink. And therefore, when Chazal make gezeros on things, they don't make gezeros on milsa delay shechicha. So, Nachamal, there are two svaras why yayin mevushel is not nichlal in the din of stam yenam. One is, it's an inferior product, and therefore it's not roi l'nisach. The other is, it's called a milsed olay shechicha lo gazur barabana. And they didn't do it that often. Now you're going to see this will have a lot of nafkaminas, bismanazah. Okay. Now, what is the definition of mevushel? Right? What, in other words, what makes it, when is it mevushel? So here, the Ramban's lashon is mishehir siach. He brings b'shem the ga'inim. When it is hirsiach. Now, the normal translation of hirsiach is when it was brought to a boil. Now, here you have to know a basic fact, if you had high school chemistry. That is, we all know that the boiling point of water is 212, but the boiling point, Fahrenheit, but the boiling point of alcohol is actually less. The boiling point of alcohol is around 172, or that range, 175, in that range. But l'chalapachas, that's much more than Yad Seledesbay. In other words, Yad Seledesbay in Hilchos Shabbos, 110 degrees, 120 degrees, whatever it is. But the lashon of hirsiach, b'pashtus, implies you have to reach a boiling point. And it's pretty clear from the Ramban this is the case, because after the Ramban brings the Ga'inim that says hirsiach, he adds a shita that says some of the mida must be chasar. That means some of the wine must have evaporated. And that does not occur typically, right? Evaporation, right? The conversion of liquid into steam does not occur until boiling point, right? So b'pashtus, from the Ramban and the Shita Saga'inim and the Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch uses the word hirsiach, and the Shach says, Dahainu chosar midasei. Okay, Shulchan Aruch says, mevushel is kirshirsiach ala or, or means a fire. And the Shach says, Dahainu, he's not arguing, he's explaining. The meaning of hirsiach is chosar b'mida. Now, but pashtus, we're going to see Rav Moshe is very makel, but the pashtus of that is that something is not called mevushel until it reaches a boiling point. Now, granted, some tshuvas do make a mistake. They do make a scientific mistake. They quote this and they say 212 degrees. That actually would not be emes, because the boiling point is lower, but it, the chalapachas does have to reach the 170 degrees, huh?
If you wait to 212, then all the alcohol will be gone, right?
Well, I'm not sure, but they don't do it that way. Now, here's the thing. The issue is the following. Almost all wine, I mean, you can get non-mavushal wine, but typically wine that's mavushal today is generally because it goes through a process of pasteurization. Just like milk is pasteurized to kill bacteria. Right? So wine is also wine or grape juice is pasteurized to kill bacteria. But the typical pasteurization process is around 160 degrees. It is actually lower than the boiling point of alcohol. It is not brought to a boiling point.
160, so.
Yeah, 160, which is a little less, right? So at the boiling point, right? So the question basically becomes whether pasteurized wines, and Stam Yayin Mevushel, now you have to check, in Eretz Yisrael, well, you'll see, in America at least, in America, Yayin Mevushel basically is at 160. Now, the truth of the matter is, it's interesting, this has a Chumra and a Kula, because some people are Mahadar, they only want to make Kiddush on Yayin that's not Mevushel. So the MS is, if I hold that 160 is not Mevushel, then I have a problem of Mechal Shabbos and everything else, but it's a heater for Kiddush and the like. So here is the thing. Rav Meisha has a tshuva. Rav Meisha's tshuva, which I don't understand the Metzias. The Metzias doesn't seem right to me, but obviously it's a problem in me, not in Rav Meisha. Rav Meisha taines that when the Shulchan Aruch says Yirsiach, it just means the shear of Yad Seiledesvay. He says it's not shayach that mevushel has to go beyond yad soledespay. The only thing Rav Meisha says is that since in yad soledespay there's gufa machlekes, so on Lagabe Shabbos we're machmer with a very low yad soledespay temperature of 110. He says for wine where yad soledespay is going to be the leniency, we should be machmer up to 160. But Rav Meisha says pasteurization is considered to be Yad Soledespay. It is called Tirsiach. I, the Shach, says it also has to be Chatzar Midasay. So Rav Meisha Tainas, and this I don't understand, Rav Meisha Tainas, at that temperature, it's Vaday Chatzar Midasay. The thing I don't understand, maybe if you have a chemistry background, maybe I'm incorrect, but as far as I understand, until you hit boiling point, there is no evaporation, right? There's no steam until boiling point. If that's the case, then if you're below the boiling point of alcohol, you're not going to be chatzar midasa. Yeah.
What about some of the other compounds that are in the wine? Maybe there's some other compounds that have a lower boiling point, and that's what's going to burn.
Okay, maybe so. But the point that I want to make is that if that's the case, then in the sense, Rav Meisha is not a big kiddush. But Rav Meisha says Hirsiach does not mean boiling. Hirsiach means Yad Soledespay, and you'll have Chaser Midasa even at that level. Yeah.
Well, you'll see steam on things that are not boiling necessarily. Take a cup of tea that's not boiling. It's not 212 degrees.
Yeah. So how do you
see steam?
Yeah. How do you explain
that's
that?
That's evaporation.
Exactly. Well, you have to explain the difference between the Zaya and the evaporation. It's like steam comes out first, and you boil the kettle, it starts steaming before it gets to boiling, and then later on the steam comes out at much more pressure.
Even in the milk companies, when they when they pasteurize milk, I think the guy was telling me also that they catch the steam of it.
That I'll come back to. Well, so the question becomes, so what is the scientific definition of boiling point? I thought boiling point was when liquid gets converted to gas. Now you're telling me now.
Why can it evaporate on the sidewalk and it's not 212 degrees? It's because the water, at a certain temperature, it's able to do.
So what is special about boiling point?
That's boiling point.
Yeah, but what happens at boiling point that you didn't have before?
It's bubbles.
Okay, but bubbles.
It loses much more. You have a little bit of chaser, and then it turns into more chaser.
Well, if you're telling me it's just a question of a more quantity,
it probably changes from liquid to gas. But when you have evaporation, it's probably staying in a liquid state that becomes like water vapor in air.
That's a gas. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
The water vapor is not a gas.
We'll have to.
You clearly see.
We'll have to look at Wikipedia for boiling point.
The water vapor is some of the
water. No. I understand.
Well,
that.
Well, it goes away.
No.
If you had it in the pot, you won't feel hot.
No. I understand. Yeah. In fact, the tea doesn't bother me so much because in the tea case, you had brought it to a boil and there might be some result. But he's raising a problem that even before it reaches boiling point, you can see steam. That's the problem.
Yeah, the kettle.
So what is the steam before you reach boiling point? What does that represent?
Maybe some of the water inside.
It's already... Okay, in other words...
That part, those molecules, have got enough energy from the fire source.
That is a possibility. In other words, different parts, different molecules may hit the boiling point. In other words, you need to hit boiling point, but you don't need the whole thing to hit boiling point.
That happen in a fast sterilization because compound fancy equipment.
Everything's uniform.
It doesn't.
But be it as it may, Rav Moshe's psak is number one, that the definition of hirsiach is yatzo ledesbay. But number two, he does have a chumra dikashit of yatzo ledesbay here of 160, which is below the boiling point of alcohol. And number three, he considers that to be chutzar mashu, even though we have to be mayan in that. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, gedolei ha'paiskim, and here I mean the real, both Rav Shlomo Zalman, and Rav Elyashiv do not accept pasteurization as constituting yayin mavushal. And also Rav Ben Sion Abishol was a great, very, very chashuv asfardish paisek, the Or Litzion, also doesn't accept it. But each of them have different reasons. There are three different reasons why they don't accept it. Rav Abed Sion Ben Shol, which is the first thing, which is the last thing, but Rav Ben Sion Abishol says the following reason, and this reason the paiskim argue with him on. He tainis that if there's a tanai in yayin mavushal, that it has to be chosar midasai, he says in modern pasteurization, everything is in a closed system. So even if you get steam, it gets recycled back, because they don't want to lose it. Right? So therefore, hitainis, if a tanai in bishul is chosar midasai, you don't have chasar midasai. This is his reason. However, his reason is not makubal for the following idea. Chasar midasai doesn't really care that you actually lose it. It just means you've cooked it enough that it's nishtana, that it would be chasar midasai. The fact that it comes back in is not going to make things better, because it's just the shear in the cooking, right? So his svara was nitche, although this was his svara. His svara was generally that you have that. He's going with the svara that it has to be nifgam, but the definition of nifgam is chasar. His taina was if you're not going to lose it. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman said a different svara. Rav Shlomo Zalman said svara that he went with the svara that yayin mevushal is mutter because it's nifgam hatam. It's pogum and it's inferior, and it's not roi l'nisach. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Tainis, because of professional pasteurization methods, the process of bishul, it's not just chalak nirmaicha, even if you did it at a higher temperature, right? Even at a higher temperature, he tainis, modern pasteurization at any temperature has a tam that is virtually indistinguishable from regular wine. Only a big bucky. I don't know if anyone here is a bucky. There are bikkim. I know people who, they can taste the difference. But for most people, they don't know the nafkaminas. And memela, Rav Shlomo Zalman tainis, it's not shayach a getter of yayin mevushal if it's taloi on tam pogum, because bisman hazeh, professional pasteurization is not paygain tam. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Elyashiv, you should be well, gave another svara, and he used the rush. The rush taina is that the heter of yayin mevushal is because it's a milsa delay shechicha, and a milsa delay shechicha lagaza barabanan. Well, here, if 90% of the kosher wines are mevushal, it's no longer shayach to say it's a milsa delay shechicha. Huh? Okay, but we're looking at yin. Well, first of all, it's not that even by the guy. I mean, there are laws in some places; certain wines have to be pasteurized. But here, now Rav Yashiv is mitzadid this way, though. The question becomes: well, maybe we don't have a kayach to make a new gezeira. If at the time Chazal made the gezeira, they excluded yayin mevushal because it was milsed le shechicha. So, if it later becomes shechicha, we don't have a kayach to make a new takana. But Rav Elyashiv comes out and says, this is not a new takana. I mean, the pshat is, Chazal ossered stam yena. If it's something is lo shechicha, mimela it's excluded. In other words, it's not like Chazal specifically said we're excluding yayin mevushim. They make a gezeira asering wine, and under normal rabbinic law, things that are lo shechiach don't fall within the gezeira. But whenever something becomes shechiach, mimela it's in the gezeira. It's not a new gezeira; it's within the old gezeira. So we do have nachamol three svaris. Why standard pasteurization in a closed system is not going to be called yayin mevushel. Svara number one, in a closed system you don't lose anything because it's recycled. Svara number two, the tam is not nifkam and therefore it's roi lenisach. And svara number three is it's no longer a milsa b'lei shechicha. Now, lahalacha lemaisa, we have an interesting pshara. This is a very interesting pshara. Lahalacha lemaisa, we paskin this way. Legabe a goy touching wine, you should be machmir, and you should treat even pasteurized wine as stam yenam and aser. But legabe a mechalal Shabbos, since there are shitos, number one, anyway, that say a mechalal Shabbos doesn't aser wine, and second of all, even like the shitos that say a mechalal Shabbos asers wine, there's a svara like the Binyan Siyon. So even if you're not samech on the Binyan Siyon by regular yayin she'eino mevushel, you could be samech on Rav Moshe legabe the definition of yayin mevushel for pasteurization. So what you're doing is you're mitztarev two shitas, neither of which would be good enough by itself. In other words, we're not samech on the Binyan Siyon to matur yayin she'eino mevushel. Number one, we're not samech, at least the Pesach and Eretz Yisrael, are not samech on Rav Moshe to allow a goy to touch yayin pasteurized wine, but you're mitztarev the Binyan Siyon and Rav Moshe to basically say that if a mechalal Shabbos touches pasteurized wine, right, you kind of have, it's actually Rav Adi Yosef says it's a getter of a sveik sveika, because you say it this way. I have a sveik sveika to be mekel. First of all, maybe a mechalal Shabbos doesn't aser, or maybe a mechalal Shabbos is a tinok shenishva. And even if you say a mechalal Shabbos is not a tinok shenishva, maybe this is called yayin mevushel. See, if a guy touches it, I only have one suffix. Is it mevushel? Is it not? I have to be machmir. But if a mechalal Shabbos touches it, I have a sveik sveika. First of all, maybe he's tinok shenishva. Maybe a tinok shenishva doesn't aser. And im tim sulaimer a tinok shenishva asers, maybe this is called mevushel. So lemaisa, even in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Sternbach, other paiskim, I don't know if Rav Yoshev specifically addressed this, but other paiskim have said that legabe the din of the maga of a mechalal Shabbos of a chileni, you can be samech on the pasteurization process as yayin mevushel. Yeah.
According to Rav Yoshev Shita, why only dafka by by wine that's
mufustar,
right?
Yeah.
Why even any
guy in mevushel
should?
No, according to Rav Yashiv, there's no hetter of mevushel at all today, unless he tied this. Maybe if you home cooked it to 212 or something, that would taka still be a milsa le shechicha.
But so regular grape juice, if it was a really, you know, Rav Yashiv's house or something, guy touched it, pour it out.
I think he would. Yeah. I mean, I think he would. This is Gufa. This is what he's saying. It's a milsa d'shchicha and it's nichlal the din of stam yeng. That's right.
Well, that's pretty harsh.
That's right. Grape juice, because again, grape juice is vadai stam yengim. The only reason grape juice is not stam yengim is only because it's mefustar. It was pasteurized, and it's yayin mevushel. If Rav Yoshev holds that because it's a milsa d'shchicha, there's no hetter of yayin mevushel, then grape juice is exactly like wine, and it's going to be usher. There is no requirement in the. I was saying there's no requirement in stam yengim that it be alcoholic. Grape juice intrinsically is nichlal and stam yenam, except for the fact that it's mevushel. So if it's not within the getter of mevushel, you're going to have a problem. Yeah.
So for the kiruv of the goyim,
Yeah.
That can come from the alcohol, the lichenomous.
It's an interesting. It is an interesting question. Because I mean, mechara, one might have said a svara. One might have said a svara that chasanus requires an alcoholic content. Otherwise, why is grape juice different than apple juice? I mean, I can drink orange juice with a guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's bishul. Okay, I understand. I'm not saying every gezeirah of chasnas is totally an alcohol, but papashtas, the fact that we differentiate wine from other things, would seem to be a connection. Unless you're going to say
whiskey and beer with you.
Right, so you have to say, Jesus, that it's not totally on alcohol. There's something about the grape. The juice of the grape is a more chashev thing, even if it's not alcoholic. Yeah.
According to Rabbi Yashin, so then what's the solution? If you can't use yam and bushel also, because yeah. Shabbos, then what do you use then?
Rabbi Yashin would basically say that you don't allow a mechal Shabbos.
So you eat in your house?
You can eat not to touch your wine. Obviously, any kosher wine company. I mean, first of all, you have to have Shomer Shabbos people in the initial squeezing of the grapes. That you have to have that because even if you're Semich and Rav Moshe, it only becomes mavushal after it's already squeezed out, and once it becomes nasar, mavushal doesn't take off a psul if it's already stam yenim. So the Emma says every winery under hashgacha has to have shomer Shabbos
once
workers.
Once the grape juice is on the table, so then how do you stop a mechal Shabbos from not touching? You say, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to touch this. According to Yash, like what do you do?
Yeah. Don't put it on the table. In other words, make kiddush and
run and throw it in the fridge.
That's correct. That's correct. In fact, let me point out. Some of you guys remember. I gave a share this a little earlier, but let me mention this shaila. An interessante shaila is like this. The interessante shaila is: are you allowed to give wine that's not mavushal to a mechal? Does the mechal of Shabbos himself become usher to drink the wine? Here's the issue. Let's say I have wine that's not mavushal, or like Rebel Yashiv, even if it's pasteurized. Okay. So I don't let this guy touch it. This guy doesn't touch it. Okay, whatever it is, he knows not to touch it. I make kiddush. The wine is 100% kosher. I drink the wine. Am I allowed to then give him some wine to drink? Now here's the question. As soon as he touches it, the wine becomes treif. Now, I'm allowed to give wine to a guy because a guy doesn't have an issur to drink stam yeinim. But l'chaira, he's a Jew. So the question is, am I over on lifne iver loisite michshel to give a Jew who's a mechal Shabbos wine that's not mevushel, because his very process of taking the wine is going to make the wine treif. I'm giving him a piece of chazer, right? Am I allowed to give it to him? Right? That, yeah.
Well, can't we say the same thing as the Rav said when he talked about the day that by you doing it now, he'll come.
So that's one svara. That's one svara. The Steipler said another svara. The Steipler said, Mimanefshach, you can't call him a goy and a Jew at the same time, because Mimanefshach. The reason why he asers the wine is because you're giving him a din goy. But if you're giving him a din goy, he's allowed to drink the wine. A goy can drink stam yeinim. Elamai, he's not allowed to drink the wine because he's a yid. Well, if he's a yid, he would not. In other words, it's not shayach to aser the wine because he's a goy and then say he's not allowed to drink it. So it's true, Taka, that Mechal Shabbos number one will asher the wine to Mechal Shabbos number two. That is a problem. That if I give it to one Mechal Shabbos and then he passes it to somebody else, that might be Lifnei Iver because he ashers it for the other person. But it's not shy to say he ashers it for himself because you can't make him a goy and a yid on the same wine. That's one svara. Another svara that's given. Huh?
Who's allowed? Yeah.
Well, because it's a split identity.
The svara is that he makes it possible because he was chosen for the Zohar. So now he's not allowed to drink it.
The Rav Sternbach says another svara. He says another svara that if you learn that stam yeinim is usher because of b'nei seyim, So B'nai Seim is only shayach to say like this, that the guy or the Mechal Shabbos ushers the wine for me, so I shouldn't marry his daughter. But it's not shayach for the Mechal Shabbos to usher the wine for himself, because he's not going to marry his daughter. In other words, it's shayach for one Mechal Shabbos that the wine would be usher for another Mechal Shabbos, because even that other Mechal Shabbos, we hope he'll do tshuva and won't intermarry with that. But it's not shayach of Gzeirah B'nei Seim with respect to the guy himself.
Anyway, it wasn't shayach B'nei Seim.
Huh?
Regardless of what the Shabbos says,
because Mechal Shabbos, you're right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, unless you say there's a problem. Like Mechal Shabbos, we're worried that maybe he'll marry someone he's not from, and then the kids will become
right. But even if you say that's right, that wouldn't apply to the guy himself. Okay. All right. So these are just different horrors to be aware of. But the bottom line is that for most of us, although not always, most of the shilas we face involve mechalalei Shabbos and not goyim mamish. And memela, we could be samech on pasteurization based on that. However, let me point out that in the kirov world today, you will often be dealing not just with non-religious Jews, you'll be dealing with goyim. Halakha goyim, either because their parents had conservative or reform conversions, or they had conservative reform conversions, or their father is Jewish, their mother's not Jewish, but they're exploring Yiddishkeit. Remember, we'll talk about the issue of teaching goyim Torah. We'll give another share of that. But let me remind you that Rav Kamenetsky had a well-known psak that although normally you don't proselytize, you don't encourage people to convert, you don't do outreach to non-Jewish people to bring them to Yiddishkeit, but Rav Yaakov held that if somebody had a Jewish father, even if al pi din they were goyim because their mother was not Jewish, because mitzad the father they have a korva to Am Yisrael, it's called Zera Yisrael, and by umais halecha achar hazachar, so it's a strange thing, they are a member, it's very strange, they are a member of the Jewish nation even though they are not a member of the Jewish religion. That's a big, big chiddush, that there's such a concept of Jewish nation, because nationality is defined by the father. So the Jewish religion is defined by the mother, but the Jewish nation is defined by the father. So the upshot of that, that's a big chiddush, but Rav Yaakov held there is an inyan of kiruv for somebody with a Jewish father. So what that does mean is you may be confronted on your Shabbos table not just with Mechal El Shabbos or Chilonim or Pinuk Shenishba, you will be confronted with Goyim Mamish, and then you'll have the Machlekes, Rebbe Yashar or Shlomo Zalman versus Rebbe Moshe. Again, I'm not a Machria, and as I said many times, you have to have a Paisek. Certainly in America, Rebbe Moshe was always regarded as the Posek Acharon. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a little less so. You're going to have to talk to your Paisek in terms of how to be Mavarer. That Shaila. As I say, if worse comes to worse, you might just boil up your wine in the stove. But even that may only help, like Rav Shlomo Zalman, your Pidim Vitam, like Rav Yashiv, I'm not sure. Like Rav Yashiv, who calls all Mavusho Milsa de Shchicha, it's not clear any temperature is going to help you. So I'm not sure how Rav Yashiv is going to work this out. Yeah.
Whenever a bottle says mavushal, that means pasteurized.
Okay, so it depends. It depends.
It says mavushal by pasteurization.
Yeah. If it says mavushal by pasteurization, then all you have is 160. But in Eretz Yisrael, I don't have the exact minim, and I should try to find this out. You could try to find it out. But in Eretz Yisrael, there are wine companies that follow at least with Shlomo Zalman. They do it at a higher temperature to try to be pig of the time. So you pay a premium for. Bad tasting wine. because that's more kosher to be yayin levushel. So yeah, you have to check. In Eretz Yisrael, they do it at a higher temperature because of these psukim. But again, as I say, like Rebbe Yashiv, it's not borrowed to me that any temperature is going to help. Yeah, that's his svara. Yeah.
Are you
going to
touch the topic if seeing the wine or seeing...
I want to talk about something here, which is not so much a kiruv shaila, but it is a general shaila in Hilchos Yayin Nesach that it's kedai to know. First, like this, you have to understand that when we say a goy, let's talk about a goy forget about Machal Shabbos for a minute, a real goy, that when we say a goy asters wine b'maga with touching, you have to understand that touching is a very literal idea. If a goy simply picks up a bottle of wine, even open an open bottle of wine, if a goy picks up a bottle of wine from the outside, that actually does not aser the wine unless he shakes it around. If he shakes it around, so we're chayshish, that's ka'ein and nisach, and Chazal called that bichlal nisach. But hagba'ah without shichshuch doesn't aser unless he touches the wine. Now, what if
you're just touching the bottle?
Touching the bottle does not aser, even if it's an open bottle. Now, what if he pours the wine? What is the halakha if a goy pours wine?
For you or for him?
Huh?
For who?
Well, for the Jew. There's no halakha for a goy. A goy can drink whatever wine he wants.
So, but if he pours for him, maybe it makes it now necessary.
Well, let's see. Yeah, he pours either. Well, okay. Whether he pours for you or for him makes no difference. But the halakha is like this. The halakha is like this. Chazal call pouring wine is not called maga. The goy didn't touch the wine yet. But it is called kocha. Kocha meaning his kayach made the wine move. So we have an interesting halacha. Kocha, the only wine that's usher is the wine that came out of the bottle. But the wine, because that's called the nesach of sorts. But the wine that remains in the bottle, there's a machlekes rishainim. Is it? Huh? That's the machlekes rishainim. Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay? Yeah, but shikshuch is when he shakes around the bottle. But
so automatically, by doing nichshuch, he's doing
shikshuch
as well.
Not. In other words, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, that's a good svara, but it seems to me that when it's just pouring and standing up, that's not called shikshuch. Shikshuch is shaking it around.
What's the problem with
shikshuch? Shikshuch is nesach, meaning to say that when Goyim worshipped Avodah Zarah, they didn't only pour, but they also shook around. That was a form of pouring, of libation.
Is an Arab included in this Goy or not?
An Arab is called, yeah, because even if he's not an Avodah Zarah, an Arab is a Goy, for Stam Yenim, for sure. Yeah.
Oh,
he is? Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. So machlekes, if it's Asher Bahana, because he's not an Avodah Zarah, that's the machlekes of Stam Yenim, of a Goy that's not an Avodah Zarah, but Asher Bishtiya for sure. Now, let me explain the issue. Say again?
Does that make a difference?
So technically, if he didn't pour it, so passing in a cup would not be Asher unless he agitated it. Oh, that's Shiloh before? Because
yeah.
It touches his lips. As soon as the wine touches his as soon as he drinks it, it touches him.
But you can pass that wine down from you pass the one to the table. Yep.
Passing wouldn't dash you necessarily, unless you're chayshish for agitation of some ways. Now, the Shiloh of if a goy, forget about chayshish, so a goy pours, whether the wine in the bottle is usher, is tully on a general Shiloh called nitzuk. Nitzuk chibor. Nitzuk just means a flow. Is that a unification or not? Let me give you an example. This comes up a lot in all Hilchos Kashrus and Tumah V'Tayra as well. Let's say I have liquid that's tame in a kli, and I am pouring tohor liquid onto tame liquid. Now for shteitzach, every tohor drop that hits the tame becomes tame. That's obvious. But the question is, do I regard the nitzuk as uniting the top kli and the bottom kli, so it's ki'ilu, the whole top kli touches the bottom and has become tummy. So even when I stop it, right, it's called a chibur, right?
Does this work for mufeks and fishes too? That's correct.
Now, we generally paskin. We generally paskin. That nitzuk is not a chibur. Even for mikvah, another example, nitzuk comes up in a lot of ways. It comes up in Tumah V'Tayra. It also comes up in mikvah. Let's say you have, right, a mikvah has to have 40 saw. Now let's say you have two pools. You have a pool of 20 and a pool of 20. And they're on different incline. They're different heights of an incline, down a hill. And there's running water going down that's connecting them. do I call that running water a chibur between one pool and another pool, so I now have a single mikvah of 40 saw, so I could be taivo in either one? Again, we paskin, nitzuk is not a chibur, and therefore it's a 20 and a 20, and you cannot be taivo in either one. Right? So nitzuk is running liquid. Is running liquid mechaber two separate entities?
So,
right.
When
I'm sorry.
Nitzuk.
I didn't hear you.
Nitzuk. How do you spell it?
Nitzuk is nun sadik vav kuf. Nitzuk. Nitzuk is a running stream of liquid. It's moving. It's not stationary. If for example I have two pools, and they're not on an incline, and the water is just stationary water, einochinami, it would be miyached the two entities. It's only the nitzuk that's not miyached. Running water is not miyached. So, in fact, yeah. So here's the shaila. Machlekes Rishonim, the notion that if the guy pours the wine, even if you say the only thing that's usur benisuch is the part that comes out, but the nitzuk should be mechaber, the part in the kli with the part outside of the kli, and Ebezai, everything should be usur. So Alibi the MS, the Shulchan Aruch says it is usur. Shulchan Aruch paskins. The case is that the guy pours wine out of a bottle. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that even though the only part that's called Yayin Nesach is the part that comes out, but since the part in the bottle is mechubur to the Yayin Nesach via the stream, so the whole thing now becomes stam yena, and the Ramon also says it's usur, but he's mekel if it's hefseid meruba. By the way, hefseid meruba is it's not in the Gerar Shaila. You know, in many areas nitzuk is not a chibur, but for the chumra of yayin of stam yenam, we say it is. Lavdafka, but yayin stam yenam generally is they're very machmer on stam yenam. If it's not Nesach Mamish, it may not be Daraisa, but they were Machmeran. And even the Ramah is Machmer, but he's Mako for Hefsid Meruba. Now, if you learn Yerideya, you know, Hefsid Meruba is a big issue that comes up a lot. What is Hefsid Meruba? And it, of course, the answer is there's no real definition. It depends on the Shail. For an Ani, Hefsid Meruba could be 5 cents. For an Usher, it might be, $1 million. For Bill Gates, you know, whatever it will be, $1 million, whatever it is. There's no such thing as Hefsid Meruba, whatever it will be. What did they say with Bill Gates? If he would drop, this is such a nice mashal about what it means to be rich. It says, if he were to drop a $1,000 bill from his pants, it would not be worth his time to pick it up. He would get more money by not bending and picking it up, whatever he was doing. But anyway.
So
there's
one bottle,
is usur b'hana'ah, or is it just... So, all right, so we paskin, it's usur b'shtia, not b'hana'ah. So it would turn out, a new chumra here, that the problem of yayin she'eino mevushel isn't only the wine that he touches or drinks or pours from, but if he pours the bottle, right, and it's not a hefsid meruba, the whole bottle might become usur. But here, I want
to
say...
Is it very b'dievet to drink such a thing?
Well, yeah. The Shulchan Aruch says, it's usur. The Shulchan Aruch says usur, and the Ramah says usur, Elim Kain Hefsid Meruba. Rashi says it's Meruba. There are Rishonim who say it's Meruba. But I want to point out, once again, we don't have time to go over all the lumnus here. Maybe I'll save it for next time a little bit. I just want to point out that here too, the Paiskim are Machria, that for a Machalel Shabbos, you can be more Makel than for a Goy Mamish. That the din of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, that Nitzuk is a Chibur for Stam Yenam, to Aser the bottle, you can be Makel Legabe the Machalel Shabbos. So it's important to understand, therefore, that even if we broadly equate the Machalel Shabbos and the guy, in a number of machloksim, we are machria that there's a difference between them. One was in yayin mevushel, and the other is whether Nitzuk is a chibur. Now, I just, when it's getting late, you had mentioned the issue about a guy looking at the wine, etc. Let me point out that al-pidin, the din of the Shulchan Aruch, there's absolutely no problem with the guy looking at wine. However, al-pisot, al-pinyonim of Kabbalah, we say that the re'iyah of an oved kechavim is paygeim, the wine, and it's considered to have a ruach ra. And the Chassidim in particular, are very, very machmir. Now, some say if it's in a dark bottle, if it's in a translucent bottle, even if you can make out that there's some liquid there, if it's not a clear bottle, some are mako. People are certainly mako if it's in a brown paper bag, like the alcoholics drink the wine in the brown paper bag.
That's the reason why.
Maybe that's why even alcoholic wants to be machmer. he doesn't want to answer his own wine. But that it is primarily a chassidish minhag. Al pidin, it's not usher at all. I'll leave for next time. One more shaila. I'll just throw out the shaila, and then we'll talk about it next time. And this is a shaila. If a person did make kiddush, and then discovered after kiddush that he made kiddush on stam yena or yayin nesach, is he mechuyev to make kiddush again? And that's a shaila of mitzvah haba bi'aveira. Did he do the mitzvah bi'aveira? And maybe he's not yotzei kiddush. But we'll talk about the different shitas again. Okay, because
you said you
could,
in terms of
Shabbat
before anyone will make.